Welcome back to the show. You can probably accuse us of becoming the number one ticket holders of the Daisy Pierce Fan Club, but we're very interested in what's going on with the evolution of the women's game in footy. And Melbourne have taken a very, very strong position regarding a couple of female footballs in recent times. One of them's our good friend Daisy Pierce, who has been good enough to join us again on the show. Hello, Daisy. How are you?
G'day, Andy. I'm well, thanks.
Now, the last time we spoke to you was for about 35 seconds because you got stuck in traffic, and we didn't get much of a chance to talk to you about where you're at. But since then, there's been some really significant developments, not only for the Melbourne Footy Club, but for you in particular. Tell us what's happened.
Yeah, there is. So I've just started a full-time job down at Melbourne, which is pretty exciting. It's something that's been in the works for a couple of months for me, but yeah, lucky enough a couple of weeks ago to start in at Melbourne. It sort of came about after a couple of years obviously playing with the D's and in my roles as an ambassador for the AFL and also the Melbourne Footy Club. I've been able to get out and take on different sort of experiences at chairman's functions and all that kind of thing, and through that I've sort of built a bit of a relationship with some of the staff there. And late last year I was approached by Peter Jackson around whether I'd be interested in a career in footy and what I thought that might look like, because he saw that I had a bit of a talent and something that he wanted to have in his organisation. So a really exciting time. So we sat down late last year and tried to map out what exactly that would look like, and we sort of got a bit lost because I had so many different passions and ideas.
It
sort of took the shape of, well, why don't we just get you in here and give you a really good experience across all different parts of the organisation, both in the footy department and also in the administration, so that rather than narrowing the focus too soon and sort of getting pigeonholed into one role, I really get an opportunity to get in there, see what makes me tick and see what I'm good at and go from there.
What an unbelievable opportunity.
It is. I mean, it's fantastic and something that I probably have dreamt of for a long time, and in the back of my mind, something I probably thought, oh, well, one day when I work in footy and if I do X, Y and Z over the next 5 years, I might be able to get an opportunity here. And then all of a sudden that opportunity is here and I'm really excited about it.
We're hearing a lot about, there's a lot of conversations in footy at the moment about, you know, gender equality and let's level it up and get more women involved. As those conversations have been taking place, with you thinking about your position in the game and what your future might look like, have you been getting excited about the fact that there seems to be this real serious push to make women a serious and genuine part of footy, and the fact that you might just be arriving at the right time?
Yeah, I think that's the exciting bit. It's kind of moved away from the tokenistic sort of, oh, we better do the right thing and give the girls a go, to really viewing it, that diversity and that the different skills that we can bring as a strength for organisations and footy clubs and just businesses more broadly. So that's the exciting bit for me, that this isn't Melbourne trying to do the right thing and pat themselves on the back and put down Daisy Pierce up on the website. It's about them valuing what I can add, not just to their ambitions at remaining as the leaders of the female footy space, but also they really back my ability to make a contribution to their whole footy club, which is really great to kick off on.
You've explained the kind of broad nature of the position in its infancy. They're calling it a graduate traineeship role, which they, like you, clearly don't know where you're going to fit, but they know they want you to be part of the organisation. Have you, in the short time that you've been there, and you started in the position about 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, that's right.
Have you started, quite like the CEO's office, have you started to kind of, I know it's really early days, obviously, but is there one part of the operation of a footy club that you feel naturally drawn to?
I mean, given my background, I'm in over at the G in the administration at the moment, so I'm constantly looking over the train tracks at Amy Park, because my heart and my passion obviously lies in the footy department, and I like that football side of it. But surprisingly, I've really enjoyed, I'm working in commercial operations at the moment and doing a bit of work in sponsorship, and straight away I can feel what Peter was talking about, that without knowing what's out there, I might find something that really gets me ticking and something that I enjoy, and I'm feeling that already. I sort of enjoy thinking outside the square and bringing different ideas about how we can accrue sponsors for the women's side, but also for the whole club, and what different angles we can take that maybe previously haven't been thought of in there.
It's all about ideas, isn't it? New ways of doing business in an industry that's pretty established. I mean, footy footy clubs are, by and large, irrespective of the colours that they wear, have pretty much done things the same way, you know, bar a tweak here or a tweak there at different places. But it's all about, you know, the kind of stadium of ideas and what you can bring. And I imagine they'd be that. That's part of the thing that's going to come from bringing people like you in, that there are different ways of, you know, sort of skinning the same old cat.
Yeah, and I think that's what I am really looking forward to at Melbourne. I already get the sense in there that they're big on embracing those different ideas and really encouraging individuals to have a voice and sort of bring those ideas to the fore. So I had the opportunity maybe to take up a job at the AFL a bit more full-time than what I have. I've been working there sort of part-time over the last 6 months, but I think Peter could have told me that I was going to be the boot scrubber, and I probably would have felt like that I was going to develop and grow under their sort of philosophies at the club. So
because a footy club is more
just their take on development and their encouragement that, you know, everyone's ideas are valued and that they really truly believe in that diversity as a strength, is something that an environment I want to work in, and also something that will help me grow as a person individually and also in my career. So really looking forward to it.
You talk about looking over the train tracks to Amy Park, and there are, women have got involved in footy operations at footy clubs, so you wouldn't be the first, but it is, to my way of thinking, it's still the hardest domain for women to crack into in footy. Do you, A, agree with that, and B, do you think that's changing at the elite level?
I think as you said, it probably is the hardest domain to crack, but we're seeing it happen now with Peter Searle at St Kilda, and at the same time I started my role, Michelle Cowan's now working the development coach and in player welfare, and like with my position, her role isn't a tokenistic attempt to give her a go and see what women can do. They've had the opportunity to see firsthand what she can do with our women's team, and they want her to add value to their coaching sort of group. So again, I think that the tide's changing, and like you said, we're coming in at a good time, and I sort of back my ability to, I mean, obviously it would be a step up to that level, but just being in the environment and being exposed to it over the next 2 years, I think it's definitely something that me personally, I'd back my ability to do it and learn, and I certainly know that Michelle will do a good job in her role. So whilst traditionally it has been really hard to crack, I think we'll get more and more of an opportunity to sort of show what we can bring now through the women's game. So over the last 3 years, we've worked alongside the players and some of the coaches, and that just breaks down that sort of barrier and that unknown of, oh, what do these girls know about the game, and can they play it? They get the opportunity to see it and hear you just talk footy like they do, and suddenly your credibility and those unknowns sort of get wiped out of the way. So I think that sort of gives people like me and Michelle an advantage in that we've had the opportunity to get in there and do what we do every weekend just with them listening, and suddenly they think, oh, hang on, they do know their footy. This isn't, we wouldn't have to teach them everything.
Yep.
We just need to add on to the bits that, you know, are unique to that real elite level. And, and I definitely think that women have the ability to grow with that.
I agree with you. Do you find people, now that your profile's sort of developing and emerging, and with the women's game, it'll continue to do that for all players in the Caper. Are you finding people coming up to you saying, Daisy, what you're doing is really important for young girls, younger girls? Women have been involved in footy for a long time, but not necessarily with the advantage of the profile that you have as a player, and that's going to become greater, obviously, with the National League. People come up to you saying, you know, I've got a 14-year-old daughter and she wants to work in footy, and can I just say, I heard you on the radio or I saw you on the telly, what you're doing for her in terms of paving the way is really important?
Yeah, I am experiencing that, and it's probably what really motivates me at the moment to keep going. And it's a responsibility that I sort of feel and carry with me when I'm training or playing or doing what I can to sort of promote the game. And I think it goes further than probably encouraging girls to want to work in the footy industry or play football. I think it, even for young girls to see women out there doing things that traditionally you wouldn't see women doing, whether it be playing footy on Channel 7 or speaking on the radio about football or getting positions in football clubs, whether they want to go on and do that exactly, I don't think it matters, because it sort of breaks down those barriers, and to them, they'll believe that they'll grow up thinking they can do anything, which I think is really important. But it's certainly something that's shifted. And in the past, maybe, I mean, I use the example of going to my first Melbourne membership day, where I got sat on the table with the boys to sign autographs.
Yeah,
and it was
a
great, you know, gesture by the club and a good sign of how supportive of their women's team they were. But I had people coming up to me not asking for an autograph, but wondering where the toilets were and what time the day finished, thinking that I was a staff member. But in the second year, I would get some families that knew about the women's team encouraging their daughters to get an autograph, if they had a girl. And but these days I sit there and I get girls, boys, men, women, it doesn't really matter. I play for the Melbourne Football
Isn't
Club
that great?
And that's what they love. And
that's awesome.
I think, yeah, it's been a really good job that the Melbourne Footy Club's done to profile its team and put them out there as part of the club. But more broadly, a big shift in society and in Australia to acknowledge the efforts of female sportswomen across the country.
Well, they're lucky to have you. I mean, don't underestimate the fact that it's you, because it could be somebody else. And I know I'm probably embarrassing you by saying that, but you're a terrific vehicle because you're obviously good at the sport, and you can enunciate the position that you're in. You can tell us about it really clearly. So I think you should take a pat on the back if it's coming your way. Where are you at with the footy, just before we let you go? Has Melbourne been told yet that it will actually be one of the four teams out of Victoria that will be part of the National League next year?
Not yet, not officially. I don't think any clubs are sort of aware of it, and that's why
so
we're
not
seeing
a little nudge, wink, wink
no,
here.
No, I think that's why we're seeing a lot of jostling amongst the clubs, putting their best foot forward, which can only be good for the game. But my understanding is over the next couple of months there'll be a bit of a formal application process, and whilst Melbourne and Western Bulldogs have both been front runners, I think they'd still have to go through that process, and it's something that I know Melbourne's working on pretty hard at the moment. They're not going to leave anything to chance, and whilst they've done the work to date and really supported getting to this point with their women's team, and I think they'll try and reinvent it, and hopefully I can be a part of that at the club too, to make sure that we stay the front runners, because it's definitely a space we want to own. So hopefully over the next few months it all starts taking a bit more shape in terms of who those clubs are and what format we play the game. But there's been a few different models sort of touted, but I think the way it'll sort of roll out initially in its first few years is maybe a competition that runs through the NAB Challenge and our final series in that sort of lull after round one of the men's season, where everyone's just glad that footy's back.
Yeah.
Then the women's final series can own the next few weeks, so that we don't necessarily have to compete as an entertainment product with the men's final series in September, where everyone's well and truly engrossed in it. I think it'd be a great time to engage new fans and that kind of thing. So I think that's the way it'll work best. The other advantage of that is that it means I can then go and support my community club in the Darebin Falcons as well, so that, you know, you make, let's say we have six AFL teams, suddenly the best 200 girls are playing in the AFL, it would quickly kill the state-based competitions that have worked hard to really strengthen over the last few years. So we don't want to make that jump too soon. So to be able to kick all those girls back into state league competitions for the back end of the season, I think would help in that transition phase where we move and evolve through the first few years of the competition. Eventually, hopefully, we end up with a similar format where there's 18 clubs running around, we play doubleheaders with the men's teams, and I definitely think we'll get there with the great development that's been happening at junior level, and with the pathway complete now, it will get there, but it's just going to be an evolution, as has been the case with the AFL. With the product we see now, that's not what we were watching 50 years ago, so we just have to be careful to not think that we have to get it perfectly right and have it look as good as what the men's AFL does now. We've got to give it a chance to grow and take shape, so we'll get there.
You're a jet. Good luck with the footy. Good luck with the job. Always great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Andy.
Daisy Pearce, our special guest. More on the Arvos after this.